Welcome back to another 5 Tip Friday, and today we are covering 5 tips on how to avoid a financial pitfall in your new relationship. If you listened to Tuesday's episode, I was talking about how we, after rebuilding our lives, coming off of a divorce where in the relationship we were financially dependent on our partner and we struggled to rebuild our life and become independent on our own, when we move into a new relationship, we might have so much fear that we do not want this to happen again, that we put ourselves in a whole nother mess. And that's the one I want to help you avoid with these 5 tips today. Hello and welcome to another episode of the From Devastated to Divorced podcast. I'm your host, Josie, and I am a separation survival specialist. Through my unique 5 chapters to surviving a separation methodology, I guide women who are grappling with the challenges of an unwanted separation. Together, we navigate the path from feeling devastated to confidently stepping into divorce. And today's 5 tips are how to avoid a financial pitfall in your new relationship. Number 1, empower yourself. Remind yourself that discussing finances is not a sign of weakness or dependency, but rather an act of empowerment and self-awareness. Recognize that you have the right to advocate for your own financial well-being and to make informed decisions about your future. I start here because I know that many of us knew nothing about finances or what our husband was making or what was in the bank account or what bills needed to be paid. We let everything completely in our husband's hands. And after we rebuild ourselves, the tendency is to then handle it all ourselves and not want to let go of any of it because feeling like letting go of some of it is letting go of control. And I get that. But you want to just remind yourself that you have done this, that you know what you're doing, and that you're not going to fall into that situation again. It doesn't mean that you have to be in charge of everything for the rest of your life. Number 2, focus on equality. Shift your perspective to view financial discussions as an opportunity to establish equality and partnership in your relationship. Remember that both partners have a responsibility to contribute to and manage the financial aspects of your relationship, which kind of piggybacks on the one that I said above. It doesn't have to be an all him or an all you. The point is that it needs to be a partnership. It's okay to have your new partner in your relationship pay some bills. Be responsible for some things. It doesn't mean that you are falling back into the pattern of, oh my gosh, he's taking care of me and I don't want that in my life. I can do it myself. You can be an independent woman and have a partner that is doing equal in the finances. In fact, I honestly think that that is the best way to have a healthy relationship, when you are both equally contributing and equally aware of what's going on with the finances, with the numbers, with the bills, with the debts, with the savings. You get the picture. Number 3, communicate early and often. Don't shy away from discussing finances and money goals early in the relationship. Initiate the conversations about your financial values, priorities, expectations to ensure alignment and transparency from the start. This one is very important because it prevents you from falling into the pitfall that I mentioned in Tuesday's episode. You don't want to talk about money. You don't want to bring that up because you're like, I don't need to. I am able to take care of myself. So I don't need to ask him about any of these things because it's not going to matter in my life because I can handle it. I've already done it. But that is not how a relationship is going to work. The longer you are together, the more you're going to want to be a partnership, the more you're going to expect him to be a partner. And if you don't talk about money, you don't talk about your expectations, you don't have these conversations early, it's going to come out of left field for him and you might not like what you hear. So you can't avoid it because you don't want to feel like you're depending on him because you're not. You know that you can afford and can handle your lifestyle. However, it's also important that if you're bringing a partner into your life, that he can also handle his lifestyle and that you together can create something more. Number four, setting boundaries. Establish clear boundaries around the financial matters and communicate your needs and expectations openly with your partner. Be assertive about your desires to have open and honest discussion about money and encourage your partner to do the same. So important. And you know that I'm always advocating for you to have your own savings, for you to have your own money, even in a new relationship, and I still agree on that. And since this is a new relationship, you can be very clear on that and say, hey, I'm perfectly fine with you having your own bank account and I have my own bank account. And then we agree on what money needs to be contributed to the household and we both deposit it into a third joint account. That way I've got my money under control. You got your money under control. I'm not going to be asking you about your money. You're not going to be asking me about my money. But we are both together contributing to the things that need to be paid in our household as a couple, as two people, or a family, if you have children and things like that, if the relationship progresses. So you are clear. This is how much you pay. This is how much I pay. This is how much we save together. This is how much whatever. My savings is mine. Yours is yours. I'm not going to mess with that. You're not going to mess with mine. We're not going to question each other. We're not going to fight about these sort of things. If those conversations are had early, you walk into a relationship and at least that aspect is clear and potentially would avoid problems, which brings us into tip number five, trust your instincts. Trust your instincts and pay attention to any red flags or warning signs regarding your partner's attitudes or behaviors towards money. If something doesn't feel right or if your partner is unwilling to discuss finances openly, it may be a sign that they are not the right match for you. So, yes, you set boundaries. You have these conversations with him, and then you watch. Is he cool with it? Is he bothered by it? Does he then suddenly think that you are just with him for his money? Is he wishy-washy about what he has and what he wants to do with it? And I'm not willing to let you have a joint us your own private savings account. I think we need to really just put everything in there and both have availability for everything. You should be depositing your check with me. You shouldn't be hiding anything. You don't trust me because you have money on the side. All of these things. If you hear him act like this, when you have these conversations and you are just trying to explain how you feel, how you want money situations handled, and you have these conversations early, and you see how he reacts, that's a sign that maybe this is not the person for you because that's going to bring trouble in the future. This is not a person that is wanting to be an equal partner. This might be a person that wants to control you financially. This might be a person that doesn't feel comfortable with you being independent. And maybe we'll go somewhere stubborn. Maybe this is a person who doesn't have money, is hoping to have you take care of the things and doesn't want to be transparent because then you will realize these things. So very important to look for the red flags, to pay close attention. I'm not saying as soon as you see something, you're like, oh, walk away. No, analyze it, talk to him, find out what's going on. And if there's a lot of resistance, then yes, I am going to recommend that you walk away because money issues are big issues. You know this because you just came off of a relationship understanding this and finding yourself struggling because you had put yourself in a disadvantage. So you're not going to do that again. You're going to learn the lesson. However, you're going to learn that it doesn't mean you have to do it all. You're going to include your partner and you're going to include them early. It doesn't have to be the first date, of course, but early on in the relationship, these conversations need to be had. And if you feel like you are not ready to have these conversations with the partner because you are still healing from somebody controlling your finances and whatever, and that you'd rather just say, forget it, I'll just handle everything, you're not ready to get into a relationship because trust me, it's going to be an issue. It is not going to be something that is going to be easily fixed in the future, and you're just setting yourself up for more problems. Hopefully these five tips make sense for you and they put you to think a little bit. And if you are in a relationship now and you're like, crap, I could have used these five tips 6 months ago, a year ago, it's not too late. Have the conversation. Set boundaries. There's no rule that says you can't set them now. Is it going to be harder? Yes, it is. Probably so. But have the conversations and still trust your instinct and look for the red flags. If he's been coasting and doing great for the 6 months he's been with you because he hasn't had to pay a thing or you haven't questioned anything that he does, and now you are, of course he's not going to like it. But think about it. Would you like to end things at 6 months with someone who's not willing to be your partner? Or would you like to stay another 5 years towing the line and feeling more and more resentful? So hopefully this helps you. It's never too late. Have the conversations. And before I go, if you are still in the midst of your unwanted separation, I just wanted to remind you that my new course is now available, and it's where you can embark on a transformative journey designed to reshape the way you navigate life post-separation. And it's not just another course, it's a pivotal roadmap using my five chapters to surviving a separation methodology with a blend of insightful strategies, personal reflections, and accountable steps. You'll discover how to reclaim your sense of self, build resilience, and open new doors to happiness and fulfillment. So don't miss the opportunity to turn the page and start writing a new chapter in your life. The link for more information will be in the show notes. And with that, I will leave you for this week. Catch you on the next one. Bye for now. Thanks again for listening. And if you found value in today's episode, I would really appreciate it if you could go take a moment and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're streaming from. It would really help to get the word out and help us build this community. And as we wrap up today's Heart to Heart, I hope you find healing, feel your strength grow, and embrace your journey forward.